John chapter 11. This is the New Testament commentary on Psalm 121. I'll be preaching on Psalm 121. But hear God's word. John chapter 11, beginning with verse 25, that's on page 897 of our Pew Bibles. John chapter 11, verse 25. This is Jesus after the death of Lazarus. Hear the word of God. And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." And when she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Amen. To this reading of God's holy and divinely inspired word, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you that you are the God who gives life, not only physical life, but also spiritual life, eternal life through faith in Christ. Lord, you choose to use the preaching and teaching of your word, Father, to convict us of sin, to call us to Christ. Pray this morning, Father, that you would be giving us eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to obey, so that we would be faithful, loving followers of Christ each day of our lives. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As Christians, it's good for each one of us to carry around what I'll call a stash of scripture in our hearts, to share with those who are struggling and sorrowing, While it's great to have scriptures committed to memory, you know, it's also helpful to read your Bible, to share them with those who are in spiritual need, whether you're at the funeral home or the hospital, at the nursing home, by the deathbed of a dying saint. You know, scriptures like Psalm 23, verse 4, all of Psalm 23. But Psalm 23, 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. John 11, 25 and 26 that we read, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And I would include on that list Psalm 121, the psalm that we read together for our responsive reading that we sang together. You know, our gracious God gave us the scriptures to edify us, to encourage us in our walk of faith with Christ, but also to strengthen us in our real struggles of faith. You know, and here in Psalm 21, we'll see that we are called, that may we faithfully trust our guardian God in our painful struggles. I invite you to turn there to keep your Bibles open to Psalm 121. That's on page 516 of our Pew Bibles. And so the question then might be, why should we faithfully trust God in our struggles? And here Psalm 121 gives us three reasons to trust God. You know, the strength of God, security in God, and finally salvation in God. Begin there with strength. Strength in the Lord our Creator. Psalm 121, just a little bit of background here, is one of the Psalms of Ascent. Psalms 120 through 134. Best understanding is that these were songs of the saints on their journey up to the city of Jerusalem on one of the three annual festivals of the faith. You know, Passover at the beginning of wheat harvest, Pentecost at the end of that harvest, and then again Rosh Hashanah when the grapes were gathered in. So we could call these psalms pilgrim praises. You know, it was a hike up to the city of Jerusalem. You know, not four-lane highways, rough, rugged, rocky paths. They were passing the time. And one of the ways they passed the time was singing these psalms on their way up to Jerusalem. Probably they would sing them in order, sing them repeatedly so that the oldest would be teaching even the youngest. Psalm 121 may have been sung when the struggling travelers caught their first glimpse of the hills surrounding Jerusalem, maybe even the Temple Mount. And yet there is a struggle. Here again, Psalm 121, verse 1. I lift my eyes to the hills. From whence, from where does my help come? You know, I lift my eyes to the hills. There's the focus of faith. You'll see it again in Psalm 123, verse 1, to you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. You know, there's a struggle taking place in this psalm. You know, they knew the journey would be hard and long. You know, consider some of the struggles of faith that they endured on that journey up to Jerusalem. Verse 3, he will not let your foot be moved. You know, these were shaky paths. They didn't have high-top leather boots. You know, it's easy to twist an ankle or to get pierced by a briar, bitten by a snake. There was also a fear of being robbed or attacked while you were asleep. That's why the reassurance, you know, behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber or sleep. There was harsh weather. You know, they walked up there, they journeyed up, you know, in the hot summer sun, or the hot sun, cold nights there. They were going up to the hills, again, to the Temple Mount on Jerusalem, but the hills as well could be those hills in the area where non-believers, where pagans place their idols. And you'll see there's a few ways to understand that first verse, I will lift my eyes up to the hills. You know, either he's looking to Jerusalem, or he might be looking to those other hills where they were, where idolatrous worship is taking place. And you hear his cry. You know, my help comes from the Lord. You know, the King James has it as a clear cry of faith. I lift my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. There they're understanding the hills to be Jerusalem. You know, but our English Standard Version puts it this way. There's a crisis of faith. From where does my help come? You know, and that word help here is a vital word, a few vital words that we understand here in this psalm, but help in the idea of aid or succor or strength. You know, where does my help come from when I'm hurting? I'm sure all of us have asked that question at some point in our lives. You know, where does my help come from? Where are you, Lord? You know, can't you see I'm hurting and struggling? You know, where do we look for help when I'm struggling and sinking? That was Peter. You know, Peter was looking at the wind and the waves. You know, it's a question. Where do we look for help? Should I look to trendy talk show hosts? Do I look to my horoscope, social media? Do I do a Google search? You know, hurting. You know, 20 million hits. And where to go when you're hurting? I haven't done that. I wouldn't advise it either. You know, should I seek relief? You know, in substance abuse, in pornography, in food, or mindless entertainment? You know, there's a real crisis of faith here for the psalmist. A real struggle of faith. And yet there is a statement of faith there in verse 2. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. You know, personal. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. You know, two parts to this verse. First, on the Lord, all capital letters, Yahweh, Jehovah, the faithful covenant-keeping God, the God who was faithful to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that God who is still faithful to us today. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. You know, but he's also the Lord, the covenant-keeping God, who is our creator. You know, that's not a throwaway truth, a trivial truth here. The creator God who made heaven and earth. It's almost like biblical bookends, but not horizontal, but vertical. You know, the Lord made the heavens, everything that's above you, and everything under your feet and in the seas. You know, his power to create the sun, moon, stars, birds of the air, fish of the sea, plants, trees, and all by his word. And then he created us in his image to know him, to love him, to worship him. You know, our Lord God not only created all things, but he still wisely rules over all creation. Psalm 121, verse 2, really teaches us about the providence of God, that our help comes from a faithful God who created us, who guards us, who guides his struggling saints. You know, that truth of providence. Westminster Shorter Catechism, question 11. Well worth memorizing as well. You know, what are the works of providence? And here's the answer. God's works of providence are his most holy, wise, and powerful, preserving, governing all his creatures and all their actions. Strength in the Lord our Creator. You know, this morning we've already sung one rendition of Psalm 121. Why do that? It's good to learn new hymns, and actually with our denomination, Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church, one branch of our denomination were exclusive psalmodists, meaning they only sang the psalms. And I think it's good that we include the psalms in our worship. It's a great way to savor the psalms. It's a great way to memorize the psalm. But, you know, as Dirk already said, there's different hymn versions of Psalm 121. One of those was written by Isaac Watts. And this is the way he captured these opening verses of Psalm 121. Listen. To heaven I lift my waiting eyes. There all my hopes are laid. The Lord that built the earth and skies is my perpetual aid. You know, what a comfort to know that strength. The Lord is my perpetual aid. You know, not just a shot of adrenaline, not just something to get us over the hump, but my perpetual aid. You know, so the first truths we learn in these opening verses of Psalm 121, that when Christians encounter struggles in their walk of faith with Christ, we must remember that our help, our sure strength, comes from the Lord, our Creator. Strength. The second truth here is security. In verses 3 through 6, security in our guardian God. Beginning in verse 3, we're going to see an important word, and it's that word keeps. He who keeps you will not slumber. You'll see it in verse 3, 4, 5, two times in verse 7, verse 8, so six times here in this short psalm. Now, what does it mean that the Lord keeps us? It means that the Lord guards us. He preserves us. He protects us. He keeps us secure. We are secure in our sovereign and saving God. You know, there are five promises from our guardian God in these verses. Sovereign security for struggling saints. And we'll follow the order here in Scripture. Verse 3, first promise, he will not let your foot be moved. Already alluded to that, but on these treacherous paths that we travel in life, the Lord promises to protect our feet from falling, to keep us from walking off the edge of the cliff, to protect us from snake bites. Satan being the great serpent. You know, Hannah prayed, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 9. You know, it's amazing these truths you learn as you're preparing to preach God's word. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 9. Hannah prays this: he will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness, for not by might shall a man prevail. You know, and why our feet? You know, it's the idea if the Lord protects, keeps secure even our dirty, dusty, smelly feet, will he not also keep our hands, our heads, and our hearts? He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. You know, God never falls asleep at the wheel. He never takes a cat nap. My dad worked hard during the week, and in church on Sunday, you know how children are, looking at their parents. My dad would have his eyes closed during the sermon. We said, "Dad, you are sleeping during the church, during the message." And he would always say, "I was just resting my eyes." And so that's a family expression. We still just resting my eyes. He wasn't snoring, so, you know, God never slumbers. He never rests his eyes. His eye is always upon you. His ear is always turned to hear your prayer. His hand is always ready to serve and to save you. There's a great account. Encourage you to read it later today or this week, 1 Kings chapter 18. You might be familiar with it. Just a quick summary, Elijah is confronting the prophets of Baal. They both make their sacrifices, and they have a wager. They're both going to pray, the prophets of Baal, and Elijah is going to pray that the Lord, that God would send down fire from heaven, and they start with the prophets of Baal, and nothing happens. And Elijah basically mocks them. You know, hear this, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 27. You know, they're crying out, "O Baal, answer us." No voice, no one answered. Verse 27, 1 Kings 18. "And at noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, 'Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is musing, or he is relieving himself, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and must be awakened.' And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their custom with swords and lances until the blood gushed out upon them." And Baal never answered their prayers. You know, then and as now, people falsely, foolishly worship gods that, false gods that are asleep, that will not answer prayers, never. And here in Psalm 121, we always remember, you know, God, we're always secure. You know, and we can think of it in a tangible way. You never slumber nor sleep. And if that's not enough, verse 4, "Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber or sleep." He not only is watching over me, but he is a God who guards, protects, keeps Israel, all of his covenant children, secure. He keeps the community of believers secure. We could say, in a very real way, he keeps his church secure. He keeps his covenant family secure. You know, in preparation for today's message, one of the challenges is each week is to think of a sermon title, something that's unique and yet is a summary. And Ralph Davis, one of my favorite preachers, very knows the Word of God, knows the Hebrew, very creative. The title for his sermon on Psalm 121 was this: God the Insomniac. You know, God the Insomniac, God who never sleeps. And isn't that a good thing? He never gets tired of us. We never can wear him out. The Lord is your keeper, verse 5, the third promise. It's a personal promise here. The "you" are there, we miss it in our English, but it's singular. The Lord is your keeper. You know, it's not angels that keep us. Yes, God uses angels, but it's not angels that keep us. It's not, and I say this carefully but thoughtfully, it's not intermediary saints that keep us. It's the Lord himself who keeps us. He doesn't delegate it to some minor servant in the kingdom of heaven. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. Already told that to the children. Think of the oppressive rays of the sun in the desert in the Middle East. You know, a dry heat, but still hot. You know, think of, I know it's cooling down, but think of those humid July, August days in Acadiana, sunstroke. You know, if you're out there for too long, unprotected, here the Lord himself humbly serves as your shade. You know, our first line of defense, he providentially protects us in our pilgrimage. Isaiah 49, verse 10 puts it this way. Isaiah 49, verse 10, this is God's promise. They shall not hunger or thirst, neither scorching wind nor sun shall strike them. For he who has pity on them will lead them, and by springs of water will guide them. You know, the Lord's our shade. You know, and don't we need shade today more than ever? The Lord is your shade on your right hand. You know, the right hand, yes, my wife is left-handed, but right hand, biblically, was the strong hand, the hand that would wield the sword in battle. And we would think, okay, my right hand is strong, Lord, I don't need your shade on my right hand, you know, get on my left side, my weak side. No, the Lord is your shade on your right hand. Fifth, the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. You know, God serves as our sovereign safeguard in every struggle of faith. Nor the moon by night. There's a poetic parallelism here. You know, today we would say God keeps you 24/7. When the sun is shining during the day or when the moon is shining at night, the Lord is watching over you. You know, in former times, just so we could better understand, in former times the pagans feared that the rays of the moon would inflict what they would call moonstroke or lunacy, mental health problems, night fears. When you combine the traveler's fears about sunstroke and moonstroke, you know, Psalm 121, verse 6 teaches us, you know, that the Lord securely provides what Derek Kidner called round-the-clock preservation from dangers real, that sunstroke, and imaginary, that is moonstroke. Security in our guardian God. You know, consider all the places where Jonah, most of us are familiar with the account of Jonah there in the Old Testament, but consider all the places where Jonah, the rebellious servant of God, tried to find his security. You know, first he tried to find his security in a ship sailing to Tarshish. God was sending him to Nineveh. Jonah thought, well, I'll be more safe heading in the opposite direction of where God wants me to go. And then he asked the sailors to throw him into the sea. He thought, well, I'll be more safe in the sea than I will be in this ship during the storms. But remember, the Lord providentially provided a secure spot in the belly of a great fish, and then Jonah journeyed to Nineveh to preach the gospel. The people repented. Jonah still hadn't learned his lesson about God's security. He ran out into the desert, and the Lord caused a plant to grow. And we read this, Jonah chapter 4. Verse 6 and following, now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. We could almost say, well, Jonah again found security in a plant. Continuing, but when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint, and he asked that he might die and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." What should we learn from Jonah in Psalm 121 about security in our guardian God? The Lord is your keeper. Remember that, treasure that, recall that this week. The Lord is your keeper. You know, God's word teaches us that we can always trust our sovereign God to securely care for us. You know, as the hymn line goes, we didn't sing it this morning, "Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you." Strength, security, finally salvation in our gracious Lord. Verses 7 and 8. There's a gracious preservation. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will preserve, he will protect you from the evil of sin, the evil of trouble. Again, Derek Kidner helps us to be kept from all evil does not imply a cushioned life, but a well-armed one. It doesn't mean that God's not going to allow any trials, tribulations, sorrows, and heartaches into our life. But the Lord is with us. He is keeping us. You know, even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you know, what does Psalm 23 teach us? "I will fear no evil." Say it with me. "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." We could keep going from there. The Lord graciously preserves and protects every believer, even in dark and evil days. How do we know this? Look at the second part of verse 7. "He will keep your life." King James, "He will keep your soul." That eternal part of you. The Lord is always watching over you. You know, does this mean Christians will never suffer serious sickness, sorrow, painful struggles of faith? No, ma'am. No, sir. You know, turn quickly to John chapter 11. Just a few quick truths here. I know you're familiar with that account. Jesus' gracious promises to his grieving saints, Mary and Martha, verse 25, 26. Jesus said to her, first to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." You know, three promises there that Jesus gives. The certainty of salvation. Christ's power to raise the dead and graciously give the gift of life eternal. Secondly, it's a call to salvation. You know, hear Jesus' own words. Do you believe this? You know, first he gives the promise. It's striking. And then he gives the question, that call to salvation. Here's the truth. Do you have faith in Christ, who is the resurrection and the life? And Martha responds. You know, she said to him, "Yes, Lord." It's like Peter's confession, maybe even greater. "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." You know the rest of the story. Jesus wept at the death of Lazarus, John 11:41. He lifted his eyes. "I lift my eyes unto the hills." Here Jesus is lifting his eyes to heaven. He's lifting his eyes to the Father as he did in John 17. He prayed. He commanded Lazarus to come out of the tomb with a loud voice. It said that if Jesus hadn't said, "Lazarus, every dead person would have come out of the tomb. And lest we doubt this salvation in Christ, you know, verse 44, the man who had died came out. And even Jews, verse 45, believed in Christ. What are the takeaways here? It's a call to trust our gracious and saving God, the God who loves us in Christ. We are to love him in life. We are to love him in death. And finally, verse 8, the glorious presence of God, salvation still in our gracious God. The Lord will keep, the last time we'll see it, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. The Lord graciously guards us when we're going out the door in the morning. He graciously guards us each step of the journey of faith until the end of the day. Our God will graciously walk with us, watch over us, one day whisk us home to heaven. He will keep us from our first breath, even in our mother's womb. He will keep us until our final sunset by his grace and for his glory. Next Sunday, we'll begin 2 Samuel. Thank you for your patience and forbearance, allowing me to preach on Psalm 121, and you might be asking why. For my own heart. You know, at my mother's graveside memorial service, each of us as children read portions of scripture that we had read to her in her final days. My joyful privilege to read Psalm 121, both at her deathbed and at her home church. And as a pastor, as a son, a faltering pilgrim, you know, the Lord continues to lovingly and patiently teach me, and I trust teach each one of us about what it means to trust him, you know, to walk in faith when we are struggling, and to always treasure his salvation in Christ. You know, listen to the last verse of Isaac Watts' hymn version of Psalm 121. Close with this. He guards thy soul. He keeps thy breath. Where thickest dangers come, go and return, secure from death, till God commands thee home. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that you are God who is worthy of all of our trust, all of our hope. Thank you that you give us strength, security, salvation, even in our greatest struggle here on this side of heaven. Thank you that one day, by your grace and for your glory, you'll bring us home. May we be found faithful. Walking by faith, not by sight. Walking with our eyes fixed upon Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.